opening hymn this morning, the hymn number 84. Sing the first and last verse of this hymn, number 84.
Dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens great, the sinking sand, the thorn that o'er a path are spread. God holds the future in his hands. God holds the future in his hands. And every heart he understands. On him depend, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hands. Live close to him and trust his love. Assured that while on earth we roam, whatever may come, he bent above to guide his children safely home. Cause God holds the future in his hands, and every heart he understands. On him depend, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hands. God holds the future in his hands. And every heart he understands. On him depend, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hands.
For opening prayer this morning, if you turn over please to hymn number 454. 454. And this hymn will sing the first and the second verse. 454.
I need the prayers of those who love me. I need the prayers of those who care. I need the help of every Christian to take God's message everywhere. Prayed for all the faithful he wore.
Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful unto you for the opportunity that we have to come together at this time to conduct this worship service unto thee. We are thankful for each one that have attended it, and we pray that each one will be able to get some edification, that they might be able to apply to their lives. Help us to get through in the time that we are living in now. We realize that we have the virus that is they're causing a lot of problems among us. Also in the political realm of life, we see a lot of unrest there. We pray, Father, that this might be a year whereby we can get all of this back under, that all of this can be gotten under control, and people could be safe and they can be comfortable. Even here at the congregation, there are those that are unable to be with us. We pray, Father, that thing can be stabilized like we had before, and then they'll be able to come in and being able to worship you without the fear of getting the virus that we have. And we can just praise thee and uplift thee in our service to thee. And even those that are working on jobs, we pray, Father, that things will be stabilized for them, even the home and everything. We are thankful that we live in a country here in the United States where we can work with things, and with your help, and we can get things back to where they should be. We realize that we live here in this world, that we're going to have this problem, but we just pray that you will look down upon them and people will make the right decision where it can bring about a peaceful solution. At this time, may your blessing be upon the ones that are sick, unable to be with us, all of those that are on the sick list, bless each one of them, and may they be restored to the health according to your will. And be with the leadership here, and the other people that are in the deacon, and the one that are in the other position here, that they might be able to perform their job to be beneficial to the congregation. And as Brother Skip is standing before us this morning to bring us the word of God, of yours, we pray, Father, that we will listen attentively to the things that he will present to us. And there'll be some things in the word that he speak this morning, from your word, that we can apply to our lives to help us to be better servants of yours. And when we always come together, we pray that when we come together, we want to always be able to do the thing that will be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we do pray, and amen.
Prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. If you would, please. In your hymn books, hymn number 134. 1, 3, 4. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn. Please notice that the chorus and the last verse changes a little bit. 134.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him by your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. Oh, God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died.
side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, till I am just the Lamb of God.
We gather this morning to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to take of the emblems that will refresh our memories and hopefully stir our souls. The first is the bread, which is the symbol of his body that was broken upon the cross. The body that was willingly sacrificed for us, that we may have a home with our Heavenly Father. Let's now give thanks to God for this opportunity. Dear Father, as we focus our minds upon the cross and upon the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for all that you have done for us to bring us salvation, the sacrificing of your Son. And help us, dear Father, as we take this bread to remember the full implications of that life, that death, and that resurrection. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together in fellowship, Heavenly Father, giving us this opportunity to gather together on this first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table, to come together and to clear our minds, to reflect back on that day on the cross, when our Son Jesus Christ gave his life. And even though Heavenly Father, that thy Son had the power to save himself, his love was so great for each and every one of us that he gave his life and became that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's precious blood, that we do so in a way that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If we have overlooked any Christian who would like to partake but didn't have an opportunity, please raise a hand. We'll make sure you're served. I see no hands. As a matter of convenience, this is the time that we have to take an offering. Our Christ Jesus willingly gave his life that we may have salvation. Our Father God gave us the most beautiful creation, the life that we enjoy, the beauty, the people we love. This is our opportunity to give back a little to him that his work may continue. Search your heart and give as you have prospered. Let's go to God for this great opportunity. Dear Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to not only thank you for the blessings that you have sent to us, but to lay in store that we may continue the work that you have set for us. We ask that you search your hearts and help each of us to give willingly. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn book, hymn number 479 is the song of invitation this morning. 479. And after marking that hymn, if you would please, bring your hymn books over to hymn number 435. 435. We will sing the first and the second verse of this hymn, 435. Let us sing. Time is filled with swift transition, nor the work on who can stand and build your hopes on things eternal and hope. God's unchanging hand, we gotta hold to God's unchanging hand, we gotta hold to God's unchanging hand and build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. We gotta trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, and if my earthly friends forsake God, still more closely to him cling. We gotta hold to God's unchanging hand, we gotta hold to God's unchanging hand and build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. We gotta hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand, we gotta hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand, and build your hopes on things eternal, and hold to God's unchanging hand.
This morning's sermon title is Getting Real with God. Getting Real with God. The scripture reading is Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 23. That's Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 23. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in thy sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all thy goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will shew mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And behold, and the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee face with my hand while I pass. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now, Brother Norman.
Good morning. Good morning. Surely God has once again showed us his mercy and his grace, allowed us to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning to worship thee, him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see this audience this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise eternal Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for allowing us to see this day. Thank you for allowing us to be among those that are living this day. We can come out to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we about to go into your word, that Lord, we just focus upon your word and what it has to say to us. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me once again in your word, Lord, and you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Getting real with God. We need to experience the presence of God. And we need to experience the power of God. And when we remove the presence of God from our lives, we remove his power. And we understand, and when we move the presence of God in our lives, then when we decide to do something else, we enjoy. Instead of going to his house to get closer to him. And so this morning, we look at this personal encounter that Moses had with God. And I want to concentrate on three things in this particular text that happened in this encounter that will lead us to a real relationship with God. And a real relationship with God is when we look forward to doing things for Him and finding joy and zeal in obeying Him. The first thing that we want to see this morning is that we want to see to live and experience God. If you're going to get real with God, you're going to have to live and experience God. When you look at verse 12 through verse 14 in our text this morning in Exodus 33, in this passage what you find is Moses reminds God of His promise. Now it isn't like God forget what He says. So why did Moses do that? Moses did that because he had a sense of genuine concern. There was no longer a sense of divine within the nation of Israel because God had removed His presence from them. How many times have we felt that way about our lives? We might feel like we are in the middle of our own wilderness and God is nowhere to be found. How many times do we come into the sanctuary and do not feel the absolute presence of God? We sit there and we won't sing. We don't pay attention to the words. We do everything else. And we look like we just don't want to be here. Well, what causes us to feel this way? We feel this way because we are not purposely trying to seek more of God. We are creatures of habit. And we sell for whatever we have without trying to get something better. We come in here and we leave the same way that we came. Some old negative attitudes and critical spirits and just going through the motion. And the problem with that is that we aren't growing in Him. We ought to leave here better then we came. Amen? And so we have to understand we ought to leave here with a renewed spirit, dedication, devotion, closeness to God for what He has done for us and for what He has brought us through. When Moses sought God, he did so through passionate prayer. See, one of the biggest problems in the church today is that people want a deep relationship with God, but they don't want to pay the price necessary to get that relationship. We want everything handed to us, but developing an intimate relationship with God, it takes time and it takes effort. And I want you to notice what Moses says to God. Look in verse 13. Because what you find is he wants three things from God if God finds his life pleasing. When you look at verse number 13, he says, "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider this nation, that this nation is thy people." Now notice this. What he wants is, number one, he wants God to teach him God's ways. Moses knew that you can only follow God to where he wants you to go if you know what God wants. And he's asking God to teach him what God wants. Secondly, Moses is asking God to let him know God. There is nothing more precious in a Christian's life than knowing God personally. Moses knew that you cannot learn from God unless you also know God. And it's only when we know God that we can become one of his children. And then thirdly, Moses asked for God's grace. Moses wants God to let him live in God's grace. Now Moses' attitude was much different than most of our attitudes today, in that we want God's favor upon our lives for the wrong reasons. We want God's grace so that our lives can go easier and we can be more comfortable. God wants to give us his grace so that we can do more work for him. Most of us will never realize God's full grace, because although we might know him and have a relationship with him, we don't want it badly enough to spend time on our knees talking to him personally. And not only that, we don't want to spend time reading his Bible so that we can understand what he wants from us. But we still want all he can give us. And so most of us will spend our lives just circling around the area of God, but not really living in the very presence of God. We do everything we are supposed to, except to pursue him all the time with all our hearts. Let me tell you, we ought to want to get more of him. We ought to be glad to come in this house this morning. I want to get more of God in me. And so this is how you can live in the presence of God: by chasing after him, by searching more of him. But then secondly, if you're going to get real with God, you got to live and experience God's grace. That's verse 15 through verse 17. When you look at that verse and you begin to read Moses again, he speaks with God and asks God to prove his faithfulness. God's presence in our lives is directly related to the pleasure he has for our lives. Let me restate it this way: is that if we're living in a way that God does not approve, we will not see very much of him in our lives. And so, how do we please God? That's a good question. We start by loving him with all our hearts. Now, that is different than what most people do today. See, most people acknowledge God, but that is far as their emotional ego or feelings will go. You can acknowledge the man behind the meat counter at the supermarket, but you don't necessarily love him. God does not just want us to acknowledge him, but he wants us to love him. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, and 38, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." So notice Jesus doesn't say that this is the greatest suggestion, this is the greatest opinion. No, he says it's the greatest
commandment. And our first priority is to love God with every fiber of our being. We are called, church, to love God on purpose. He desires to have first place in our lives, and he deserves first place in our lives. That's why Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Our relationship with God depends most of all on our obedience to God. Our obedience determines the depths of our relationship with God. Our obedience to his will is how we should show that love to him. And we please God by praising him in everything that we do. That's why the psalmist says in Psalms 150, verse 1 and 2, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And what is proper praise? It's just blessing God back for everything that he's done for you and I. Every day that we come, every day that we are awake, we ought to praise God for what he has done in our lives. And then we need to understand we please God by serving him. In Psalm 100 and verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. He didn't say madness. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. God wants you to live your life serving him. This means more than just showing up on Sunday. True service is lived out in all you do every day in your life. Look at your life and you pick out those areas where God is doing things for you. And then appreciate it enough to ask him what you can do for him. Not just today, but every day from here on out. It's about, Lord, what can I do for you? Because I know what you have done for me. And so, church, we've talked about living in the presence of God, living in the pleasure of his grace. But then, if you're going to get real with God, live in God's fullness. Live in God's fullness. That's verse 18 through verse 23. See, preeminence shows us that God has a never-ending glory. The glory of God is far beyond anything we are able to comprehend. Moses is literally asking to see his power, his majestic. We can tell that Moses has a deep yearning in his heart to know God and to have a deep personal relationship with him. He wanted to see God without any of the barriers. He wanted to see God for all that he was and all that he is. But the only part that Moses is not allowed to see is his face. God did not allow his face to be seen because there was still a need for separation between God and humanity. Even the most intimate relationship with God could not bridge the gap. This is why God sent Jesus, so that he could be our Emmanuel, so he can be God with us. The presence of God is with us here today for no other reason than because Jesus lives. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was torn in two. That veil was to separate humanity from the direct presence of God. Jesus torn that separation away. And now we can fully experience the divine presence of God. And church, there are two things that we must do to see the glory of God displayed in our lives. Number one, we need to live in his presence every day, which means we must always be desiring a closer walk with him. And then secondly, we need to try and please God with everything we say and everything we do, not just on Sunday, but all of the time. We ought to be glad to be here. We ought to be like David. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so the question comes, are you living in God's abundant presence today? Or are you feeling like you are on the outside of his glory, waiting for the chance to go in? Whether we experience all of God's glory or not depends on one thing: how obedient we are willing to be with him. He says, assemble ourselves together. But yet we find other things to do instead of being in his house. He says, read his word. But we say we are too busy to do it today. But we'll listen to it on Sunday. All the while we stand up, we shout to the world that we are good Christians. We love God so much. But maybe, church, maybe it's time to get serious about God. Maybe it's time to start humbling our hearts from what we want to, from what he wants us to do. Maybe it's time that we follow him instead of expecting him to follow us. Maybe it's time this morning that you quit playing church. Maybe it's time this morning that you get real with God. Because let me tell you something, we're leaving this world. We're leaving this world one by one. We're leaving this world every minute, every second of the day. And you are here this morning only because of the grace of my almighty God. He didn't have to keep you on this side time of life, but he's giving you one more chance to get real with him. We don't know when our number is going to be poor, but whenever it's poor, we ought to be ready for when he calls us from labor to reward. Look in your life this morning. Are you real with God? Have you been real with God? God knows. God knows your heart. God knows your thoughts. God knows everything about you. It's time to get real. Get real with him. How do you get real with him if you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? You get real with him by obeying him. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confessing Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Going down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord adds you to his church, Acts 2:47. Then you live faithfully. Get real with him. Living your life faithfully to him. And then, because one day, when it's all said and done, when you stand before him, you'll hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. Come and I make you ruler over many." It's in your hands. What are you going to do about it this morning? You know whether you're living right, and God knows whether you're living right. It's up to you. Come right now if we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Bow with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for waking us up and bringing us together to worship you. We pray that everyone in attendance is able to take something from the sermon and use it in their daily lives to make them better, stronger servants unto you. At this time, we also ask that you watch over the people who are sick and the people who are traveling and bring them back safely at their next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.